Once again, good morning, everyone. While Pastor Tim is on vacation, we received the word of the Lord from Approved Messages through the Lutheran Church of Canada. They are one of our partner church bodies, and today the Holy Spirit leads us into the gospel account of the Apostle Luke, chapter 12, verse 13 through 21, our gospel for today. Okay, I have to ask this question, and I know if Pastor Tim's watching, he's going, uh-oh, he's going off script. Who looked in the mirror this morning before they came to church? I know I did, because I wanted to make sure that my hair wasn't sticking up and all those people looking at me this morning would wonder what in the world I did that made my hair do that, or whatever the case may be. So this morning, we're going to talk about vanities piled upon vanities, whether it be wealth, fame, celebrity, power, all of it. Vanity. Nothing. Emptiness. Vapor. A chasing after the wind. You build a business and a fool takes it over and drives it into bankruptcy. You amass a fortune and are buried next to the poor man, and your children and your grandchildren squander every one of your hard-earned loonies and toonies. Vanities of vanities. The race doesn't always go to the swift, and the winners are often cheaters. Hard work is not always rewarded and often goes unnoticed. You can't take it with you, all that you've gathered up with your blood, sweat, and tears, your toilsome days, and your sleepless nights. The moment that you take your last breath, it slips through your cold, dead hands. Sounds kind of insensitive, doesn't it? Vanities of vanities. Oh, you can dull your senses with food and drink, which are gifts from God, but if that's all there is, if daily bread is eaten without a nod to the one who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, then life is nothing more than food processing, a fleeting joy at best. Last night's gourmet dinner is this morning's indigestion, and for me, 5 extra pounds. Vanities of vanities. You work out at the gym, but the body still ages. You color their hair, and that kind of hits a sore spot for me, as some of you know that story. But everyone knows what your true color is. You nip this and tuck that, and even as you outwardly waste, you're doing this day by day. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. Emptiness, nothingness, chasing after the wind. Depressing, isn't it? It's depressing to think that all your hard work is nothing more than chasing after the wind. That's why some people can't summon the energy to get out of bed in the morning. Or they drown their anxieties in a sea of booze or pills, or they try to drown the drumbeat of despair with the noise of music, nightclubs, activities, busyness, distraction, anything to avoid facing the dark, silent emptiness. So in our gospel today, a man in the crowd summoned Jesus to be his probate judge. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Two brothers are bickering over their dead father's inheritance. Their time of grieving was brief. Hurry up, bury the old man and divvy up his portfolio. All his hard-earned assets and wise investments were now in the hands of two bickering fools. But Jesus wants nothing to do with it. Man, who made me a judge over you? I came to save the world by dying and rising. I came to be judged, and I will come to judge the living and the dead by my own life and death. I came to save you, and you're concerned about your savings account? Take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So Jesus says, covetousness. We don't use that word much anymore, do we? Matter of fact, I have a hard time pronouncing it. It describes a heart that wants things. And we better admit it, we want things. Our hearts deceive us into thinking that these things will make us happy. It is all too ready to believe the false promises preached by the Word that preys on our selfish desires. Want, crave, covet, repent. Idolatry, when viewed from the inner perspective, is rather frightening, isn't it? A darkness, an emptiness, a dryness. Idols consume their communicants from the inside, leaving an empty shell of nothingness at the core of your being. This is life without God, life uncensored, life without Christ in the middle. Turn back, for you are created in Christ, redeemed in Christ, and made holy in Christ. Without Him at the center of your being, your identity and all that you do and all that you have will be vanities of vanities, nothing, empty, a chasing after the wind. We should fear, love, and trust God above all things. So the Catechism explanation of the very first commandment says, God is not just one part of your life. God is your maker, redeemer, sanctifier, the center of your life, your being, your work, your play, your everything. He is the hub on which all the spokes of your life hang and work together. He is not the first priority of your life, but the center of your life. He brings meaning and purpose and satisfaction and contentment to all things. Whether success or failure, whether richness or poverty, with much or with little. The Apostle Paul could not write from prison, I can do all things through Him, Christ who gives me strength, for without Him, without His Spirit, without His Word, you can do nothing that will last. The grass withers, the flowers fade, and so do you and I. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. There was a man who had a lot of stuff, a rich man whose portfolio was set for life and more. His land happened to produce a particularly plentiful crop one season, and the harvest presented him with a problem. Where would he store his grain? His silos were already overflowing, his barns at capacity. You know how it is with those closets and garages. We always find a way to fill them, and then we have to buy a bigger house. He sat down at his kitchen table one night and started planning. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. I know. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones to store my grain and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, you have it all. You got it made. You can retire, kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. Take notice of all the my's. My crops, my barns, my soul, my grain, my goods. He never once prayed, give us this day our daily bread, to acknowledge God as the giver of all gifts. He never once confessed that God had made him and all creatures, that God in His fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in Him, had provided clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, land and crops. He never once gave thanks to the Lord for His goodness. And you know what? He never enjoyed the gifts because He never recognized the giver. He could have rested, had Sabbath, enjoyed the gift of food and drink with thanksgiving. He could have stored His excess grain in the mouths of the hungry. He could have slept that night in peace rather than burning in the midnight oil designing new barns and the presumption that he had tomorrow and the next day and the years to come. But he was a fool. Now, fool isn't name calling. Fool is a word God uses for those who do not recognize that He is at the center, who focuses on the gifts rather than the giver. Fool, this night your soul is required of you. and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? A fool chases after the wind. Vanity of vanities. What's the point? This is what we need to do. We need to know who we are. And we need to know who is at the center of our being. We are baptized in Christ. You have to excuse me for having an emotional moment. Christ is at the center. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is the center of your world, your work, your play, your worship, your wealth, your possessions. He was rich but became poor. He lived our life under the sun. He worked, he rested. Excuse me. He worked, he rested, he bled, and died. But his death was not a vanity of vanities, but rather a holy of holies. He redeems and reconciles. He raises up your work out of its emptiness and meaninglessness. He lifts it up as a sweet-smelling priestly sacrifice. He is at the heart and center of all things. Do you realize what this means? Your land, your house, your wealth, your barns, your silos, your grain, your profits and portfolios, everything is God's, not yours. They are all on loan from God. You are stewards, caretakers. You are not your own either. You've been purchased with a price, the life of Jesus. His blood, his death. He became poor that you and I might be rich in eternal riches. You are God's treasured possessions, enabling you to hold your treasured possessions with the dead hand of faith, offering, sharing, and giving. Be rich towards God in faith, hope, and love. Be generous in offering and charity, letting that surplus grain flow generously through dead fingers of faith. Cling to Christ tightly and hold your possessions loosely. Eat, drink, live each day with joy and thanksgiving, because centered in Christ, filled with Christ, living in Christ, who by his blessed death and resurrection won for your forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Nothing is vanity in the name of Jesus. Amen.